Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Hello, welcome to Catharsis. I'm Tiff Stevenson, comedian, daughter, consumer of content and sympathetic friend. This podcast is all about talking people through their petty gripes, their old grudges, historic beefs and sometimes listener problems to see if we can provide some relief. And I'm reluctant to say relief because it sounds sexual, but here we are. What I'm saying is you can sweat the small stuff with me. Hello, welcome to the show. As is traditional, at the top of each episode, I like to talk about something that's bothering me before I introduce my guest. So let me get into the government, this government ever wanting to be seen like something out of a Dickens novel, have decided that they want to put a sugar and salt tax on all of the food. Let's just put tax on the food because there's too much junk food out there. And banning junk food or making it more expensive just isn't going to do shit if you're broke. This is my point. Like, how about we start making healthy options more affordable? We start there. Start teaching cooking in schools properly. I had home ec. They made us buy a pizza base and then taught us how to put, like pasta sauce out of a jar and spread it. I don't even... Actually, no, it was a tube of tomato puree. And I know, I've talked about this before on social media, there was a banning of junk food adverts and I posted about that. And then what happened was the spag bol warriors came out. And this is what I call a particular type of dad who comes on to sort of mansplain spag bol, how to make it, how cheap it is. And then basically describe all the ingredients of like shop sauce, which is full of like sugar and salt anyway, which is the whole thing we're talking about. So, you know, I'm just raging about this and my guest is nodding along, so I'm going to bring her in. This week, I am joined by stand-up comedian, presenter, actress. I was going to say raconteur. She's bloody brilliant. I love her.
I'm also a daughter.
You're also a daughter.
A
daughter. She's a daughter. Let's put it out there. She's not afraid to say it.
I'm just saying.
welcome to the podcast, Tanya Moore.
Thank you. I just want to add my pronouns. They're middle child, so...
Middle child. I'm youngest spoilt baby.
Oh,
that's
God,
mine.
I'm coming off the pod now. I'm done with this.
So you were nodding along there because yes. I could feel your frustration.
With the food. It's just...
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's so funny that you said about this bag bowl and then them bringing up the bolognese that's got all of the acid in it that you could find that's not in the rain, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so silly. If you came on and started arguing about a spag bol that you made yourself from potatoes that you picked, that you grew yourself, that you knew what was going on, fair. But really, yeah. 90% of food that we eat is rubbish unless you're growing it yourself.
Yeah, if you want people to be healthier, you have to then offer discounts on fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
All you're doing is punishing people that are struggling to be able to afford food.
Yeah.
Going, well, we need to make you more healthy. And how are you going to do that? By like literally starving people, because fruit and veg is so expensive now.
Yeah.
Like fresh fruit and vegetables.
I'm glad you added fresh, because I was waiting for you to finish to be like, because them little babies, they're still bad for you. Your apple shouldn't be that soft. I shouldn't be able to squeeze my apple.
Yeah, I mean, let alone we get into like the chemicals that go on to stuff. And like, if you're lucky enough to get into an allotment and be able to grow, you know, your own fruit and veg. But again, that's a luxury that a lot of people don't have,
no. You
know, and then you're talking about seasonal, and we should probably all eat a bit more seasonal anyway, because that's when the food is at its best, if you eat it in season. But it just seems like a sticking a plaster over a gaping wound.
And hoping that the blood stops gushing, because the blood is definitely gushing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. They're the same people who come out when they go, the free school meals was extended, you know, during lockdown and everything. And these same people came out and went, you don't know hard. And then you get these ridiculous, you know, we shared one square of chocolate between 27 of us. Ugh. You know, like, you know, so, yeah. And like, that's the thing. You want, you know, especially kids as well, you want kids to be able to eat healthy, but this isn't the way to go about it. The way to go about it is by making those things accessible and cheap.
Yes. And I mean, it's a sad day when you can't even buy a lettuce anymore, because even lettuce is so expensive. You can't even make a nice, cheap, healthy salad anymore, because salad isn't even cheap anymore. You go to the shop to get a salad, it's £12.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
And you want to bake. You want to bake. You want to get the butter now. The butter's gone.
Yes.
I've been I like Lurpak. That's what I buy.
Right? I'm an anchor girl. I get it. It's expensive. My butter shouldn't be £7.
What's going on?
And I'm trying to be healthy. I'm still buying the unsalted and it's still £7.
Well, my I buy Palmer's cocoa butter, and that is cheaper than actual butter. So I know whatever, I just need to drop some salt in that. Stop putting that on my bread. I'm like, why is my body lotion cheaper than the stuff that I want to
actually be healthy with? That's where we are now, though. Oh, them I hate pineapple on pizza people must be laughing. Pineapple's expensive. Can't ruin a pizza. I haven't ruined a pizza for months, Tiffany.
Well, thank you for joining me. Let's get into your old grudge. This is the section of the podcast where we ask you to bring something from your past, and I can see you're already champing at the bit that you wish you handled differently. Let's get into it.
I wish I handled it differently, because at the time I did nothing.
Right.
And it was my college teacher. Oh, she was an absolute bunion. Honestly, you know, like one of those things of life that has to be there and you hate it. You just got to get used to it. That's a bunion. That is my college teacher. For some reason, we just hated each other and there was no way of finding a resolve. So we just spent 2 years trying to one up each other.
Really?
Honestly.
Right. So like a war of attrition between the two of you.
Listen, she got me good. She got me suspended for one day for something she made me do. Oh, Tiff. That day, I've only been suspended once in my life, and that was in college. I was the naughtiest in secondary school, and I managed to matrix my way through them 5 years.
You just flashed a cheeky little smile and went, what, me?
Honestly. Like,
yeah.
Honestly. Get to college. Me and this lady were going back and forth, back. And it's all the little nasty, spiteful stuff. Like, can I go toilet? No, you can't. Knowing I'm wetting myself, being spiteful. There's no reason for me not to be able to go toilet. But she would say no. So we're going back and forth. And I remember the reason why this sparked is because we were all in, this is a drama class, by the way. We're all in class. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is performing arts, drama, all of it. So we're in class doing our writing work and there's a fly buzzing around her and she keeps going, oh my God, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, that's what happens. They like shit. Oh, who told me to say that, Tiff? Who told me? Oh my God. Then comes around our Christmas performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And guess what she gave me? I was the sweet seller. Not even a line.
Oh, she's really held on to that.
She was bad.
She held on to that flies and shit bit.
Mate, the truth stings. So my job in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was to step onto the stage. No lines.
But surely you must have, because if you're selling the chocolate bars at the beginning of the book, right?
Right.
You can have a line there. Like, what do you
do? At least did he want a chocolate? She took away the four words and made me just walk onto the stage. Charlie took the chocolate and then I just stepped back. And then for the rest of the show, my job was to open and close curtains. Yeah.
Oh, evil. Speaking of
evil,
right. So, I'll go on then. Right, go on then.
During the rehearsals of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I asked to go to the toilet. I was allowed to go toilet. On the first floor, the toilets weren't working. Second floor, staff toilets. Third floor is our toilet again. I couldn't make the third floor, so I went to the second floor and I went toilet. Got caught by a teacher in the teacher's toilet. She brought me back downstairs and I was like, no, I was given permission to come here. Walked in the room and my teacher was like, I didn't even know you'd left. The whole class gasped, yeah, because it was a blatant lie. I kicked off, smashed the set. Then we sat in the teacher's office with my mum. And my mum, she normally sides with a teacher, bloody bitch. But on this occasion, I was kicking off. And I don't normally kick off. I was being, this is unjustified behaviour. And she suspended me for one day. We were in college for 3 days, 2 half-a-days, 1 full-day. She made sure it was that 4 day. What a bitch.
Wow. I love point. You were like, this is not fair. Like, not, injustice.
Yeah.
When you're like, how is this? The fact that the whole class has gone, we know she asked.
Yeah.
And then you just flipped out. And I don't blame you.
Whole you class flipped out. Wrote letters for me. Like, we campaigned the whole shit. She was so horrible. That was the first time I swore in front of my mum. Because I was so angry, I just forgot myself.
My mum backed me at school, actually. My form tutor was not fun. And my mum went in hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned this on previous podcasts, but she called him a jumped up little Hitler.
Yes! Yes, mum! Oh, I needed her back in the day, man.
My mum needed her. Hard. I think that was because I'd answered like back on something, or he'd said something really, really mean to me. So my mum was like, nah, you know,
you
like
get to do
you're
that.
Just like a full man and you're just like screaming at a teenage girl. So
in primary school she was right not to defend me. However, it would have been nice. The one time she did defend me in primary school is when I hit a boy and she was like, yeah, you can hit boys.
yeah. That's who I used to get into my fights with.
Boys.
Yeah.
That was my one and only fight. I didn't even like have a fight. I hit him because he was being so rude and he kept coming into my face and not respecting my personal boundaries. So I punched him in the face and I was like, go away. Then I ran.
I remember there was something about a race. I raced a guy and then we ended up fighting, but I don't know if it was charged with anything else. I don't think it was. We were too small.
You probably won.
I think it was just, you're annoying.
Yeah.
You're annoying.
You probably won, babes.
But speaking of drama teachers, I am with you because my drama teacher said, maybe not as a career to me. And I was like, and there I am doing my acting parts going, is it maybe not a career?
Babes.
Is it maybe not a career?
Because I know my drama teacher, she still exists. I've seen her on the high street by my mum's house, first of all. So I was campaigning to find her address so I could get her evicted, stupid bitch. Then I found out she's actually head of drama at a college right now. So she's aware of me.
She's aware. I would just send her posters anytime you're touring, doing gigs anywhere, every TV appearance. Little flyer through the door.
I wish I didn't have this streak in me, Tiff, but it's in me, and so I'm going to tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather make her think that I want to come to her college and praise her and set up a whole assembly, and then I will tell everybody how much of a bitch she is. I'm sorry, it's in me. It's in me.
Come out. You could do a play. You could do.
Yes.
Have you watched Barry on HBO?
I have, actually.
Have you seen the acting? Yes. Have you seen how Kusno like completely does a whole play about how he met Barry and like turns it round into his?
I think
that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a one woman. Like at the Fringe. I mean, that's essentially but we'll just do it as a Fringe show and we'll call it something like the Inspiration or something.
Yeah.
And you can make it seem like you're going to do this really beautiful, you know, wonderful kind of piece of art about her.
Yeah.
And then she shows up and you get her in opening night and it's just like, and then this happened.
Yeah.
And then this happened. And then
loads
and
of
actually
stuff.
She contravened a human rights.
Yeah.
Like a human right. There's a human rights violation.
Yeah.
Like going to the toilet. That's just a basic human rights violation to like not let someone.
I couldn't lie as well and say she did it for the 2 years and that's why I don't have kids.
This is deep.
It's getting
this
far.
Is deep.
I think we need to.
Do not cross Tanya.
Before
is what
I write
saying.
It, we should have some therapy. Yeah.
Well, that's what this is. I'm hoping you feel a bit better.
Well, I
but
do.
Also, what I'm learning is don't cross Tanya.
Well, you can cross me all you want. What we've learned is I don't do anything about it. I just go on podcasts and talk about the things I want to do to you, not the things I've actually done. Just things I think about.
I do think there is a real, though. There is a real... I do think teachers do this. And I know it must be hard, a hard job to teach, but I do think sometimes teachers, and I've definitely been on the receiving end of this, decide they just take a dislike to you.
Yeah.
Or there's something about you.
Yeah.
And this comes up quite often on this because it's those key years of your life, right? it comes, so it comes up quite often, but sometimes teachers are like, no, I am, I feel, I'm affronted by you, or there's something that you've done that has made me. My English teacher was like that. She didn't like that I said why a lot. And I was like, but why though? And she went like,
she used to do that as well. Yeah, they don't have answers.
Sent me out. Yeah. She sent me out for asking why. And I remember she never used to wear any shoes in class. And that was probably one of my, but why though? Why are you not wearing shoes in the classroom?
I like the idea of you spending 10 minutes asking her why, her sending you out and you being like, yeah, but why should
but
I leave
why?
The room?
Yeah. It's really, I mean, I'm admitting that must be annoying. I probably was, you know, an irritating shit at school. However, they must have to learn ways to negotiate around this and kind of go, you know. But I think the blatant gaslighting in front of a room full of people for you there, I was shocked. I was shocked when you said, she was like, I didn't even know you'd gone.
Yeah. It's still that's in me. I think I've got...
Because it's a figure of authority.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know.
Yes. I've had many instances where figures of authority have done bad things. And so I just don't like them. And I'm very much like, and we need to stop putting weight to words and names like teacher. They're still human beings. So they're still gonna have human being reactions to stuff. They're not now superhuman because they've got this qualification and they're not gonna be affected by a little shit in their classroom. They are.
Yeah.
They create lies and make them suspended for no reason.
Well, they're flawed. They're flawed human beings as well, right? None of us are perfect. Yeah. So, you know, I think it would have been good if we can find the space to be able to, you know, in an ideal world, to kind of go, do you know what? She was just winding me up and I was out of order. Yeah. She did say it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to suspend her. But, you know, I wanted to make an example of her in front of the class because she's always pushing it.
Yeah.
And then there's a conversation to be had where you can kind of go, you've acknowledged you've been a bit wrong. I am always pushing it. And and maybe kind of acknowledging as a grown up as well, going, this is a kid.
Essentially,
you know, you're going, I'm a grown up. This is a kid. And I'm now behaving in a combative way with someone that is young, a young person.
And doesn't have the tools that I have coming to this fight. It's an unfair
fight. I have
fight.
To be able, to be able to kind of go, oh, actually, I have power and authority here. And so I can make it be whatever I want it to be and not think, putting herself in your shoes to go, how awful that must be to be on the receiving end of going, no, but I did though, like I did. And now you're just telling everyone I didn't. Like, and I think that is about having latitude to kind of be, for teachers to be able to go, I didn't quite get that right.
Yeah.
And also then go, once you've said I didn't quite get that right, then we move on. It's not laboured upon for weeks and weeks and forever and brought up every time, you know, because we all make mistakes.
And the thing is, people, I mean, back then we weren't really into it or paying attention to it like we are now, but when you do those things to people, you leave bodily scars. So they're going to have this thing carried with them until they learn to find a resolve. Obviously, I haven't found my resolve and I feel like I'm going to hate her forever. But going forward.
Well, I was going to ask you, going forward, how do we feel? Do we feel a bit better? I feel we might not have eased your suffering in that situation, but we might have provided some helpful solutions for anyone else that has that happen. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your old grudge. That was great.
I mean, let's just call it a grudge.
Split a grudge.
Let me tell you what's so funny.
Recent grudge.
You put old grudge, and on my piece of paper when I was doing my homework, I just wrote grudge.
Grudge, yeah. Just grudge. There's nothing old about this. It's as fresh as if it happened yesterday.
It's still a grudge.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you're looking forward to this section of the podcast, Tanya.
I am.
It's unpopular opinion. What do you love that everyone else hates, or vice versa?
What do I hate that everyone else loves?
Two things. Okay.
Chocolate. I know.
Yeah.
And smoked salmon.
Oh,
I just don't
wow.
understand why we exist.
Wrong.
Boo. Everyone who knows me knows chocolate is disgusting. I hate the texture. It's the texture when it hits your mouth and it starts to melt and it feels like, I feel like I'm in a Venus, like a Venus flytrap. You know when it opens and it's got all the lines and it's stuck together?
Yeah.
Chocolate makes me feel, I just don't understand it. When I have a chocolate, I'll buy like a Snickers or a Maltesers and I'll bite the chocolate off around the side and then eat the middle.
You bite the chocolate off and spit it out?
Yeah.
That's my favourite bit. I bite the chocolate off, I let it melt, and then I just get into the middle.
No.
Well, actually, so chocolate for me, I used to like it more, but then actually when I think in my late 20s, early 30s, my relationship with chocolate changed, and it became just when I was premenstrual, it would be like a one-night stand.
Oh, I went through that as well. I knew I was coming on because I'm like, I fancy chocolate and I hate chocolate. Yes.
And then I would like do it. And then in the next day, I would be like, don't look at me.
I would take one bite and then be like, yeah, I knew I didn't want this. And then throw away the rest of the bar. But it satisfied whatever that thing is.
Yes. Yeah. Some kind of weird sugar dopamine. Yeah. I don't know.
There must be another
I don't
way
know.
To do
I
that.
Mean, it's probably a healthy. And also, when you said chocolate and smoked salmon back to back, I did gip a little bit because it sounds like a combining of those two.
Oh!
Like chocolate wrap smoked salmon.
And again, I'm a textures girl because that's why I don't like smoked salmon. The texture.
Right. Too weird
Can't
for you.
Can't do with that jelliness. It feels like it's not cooked yet and it isn't. It's smoked. And I can't get that around my head either.
So do you not like salmon sashimi?
No.
Oh, I love all of that.
I like sushi if the salmon is the cooked one.
Right, okay, yeah. Right. So for you, that fish has got to be... For you, the smoked salmon and sushi is the equivalent of like swimming in the sea and just taking a bite out of a fish as it goes past.
Basically.
No.
Yeah. When I see smoked salmon, I think of Brighton. It smells like Brighton. It smells like Hastings. It's all the things.
It does have a fishy smell, doesn't it? Because salmon, when it's cooked, doesn't really have a fishy smell. So when you're in smoked salmon, there is a fishiness to it.
It's pungent.
But also, I kind of like the idea of, and I've never thought about it before, but just fish smoking cigarettes. just a fish puffing away like a salmon.
I'd like
going,
to see a
All
mermaid
right,
roll up a smoked salmon and that would be funny. They missed the trick in Little Mermaid with that.
They did. And always, why is it you always see the mermaid with like... the fishy tail. What about the fish head and some sexy legs? We never see that version.
Oh my gosh. I didn't think about that.
The fish head and the sexy legs.
The sexy legs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I want to see that. Maybe that would be the man. The man would be fish head, strong legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lady would
strong
be
legs.
Sexy
abs.
Skin.
Some nice ripped abs on the guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes, please. Abs. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll get that going. Oh. Also, the bra, the shell bra, like, is there any other option? Because I'm just imagining that a bra made out of shells is painful.
I didn't even think about that. Underwiring is painful. A shell bra
true.
Is definitely painful.
I mean, she looks good in her shell bra. Yeah. I'm just, the practicality of it, I worry about.
Yeah.
I think if you got some big girls, those are not.
Oh, that's only going to go over your nips. That ain't really going to cover the old breast, is it?
Look, couple of starfish. Yeah. Couple of starfish on the nips.
Starfish is just...
That's what we should be. That's what we should just be. Some modesty starfish.
Yeah. I love this intelligent conversation about mermaid breasts.
Yeah. Mermaid tits. We are all over it. The
also,
fish tits.
When mermaids give birth, how, number one, and two, do they breastfeed?
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't. How would it work? Because that's the fish end.
Yeah, exactly.
So it must be eggs that get fertilized. So they maybe don't give live birth then.
Okay.
So there's going to be like roe or spawn or what? Spawn.
Spawn.
And then the male, the merman comes along and just, or the man, because mermaids don't seem to go out with mermen. They seem to just go out with men. That's right. You don't ever
Let
see the mermaids
Disney
and the.
Tell it.
Yeah. Like, it's got to be a prince, right? That's yes. the.
It can't be a regular schmegler, dude.
No,
it has
it's got
to
be
the king of the future king of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm even thinking of Tom Hanks in Splash. Like, there wasn't any, like, rival. People wanted to dissect her and study her, but there was never any, like, merman that came along that was like, get off my girl. Like,
yeah.
The she king, belongs with
the
me
king
in the water.
Didn't make one of the little mer boys
yeah.
into a human so he could then have that and keep it in the family. Oh, that's. Yeah. The king allowed her to go outside of her race. And I appreciate him doing that. She's mer race and she dated human race, and I dig it.
And I maybe don't know the plot of Little Mermaid enough. Is it that if she gets her voice back?
So
if she kisses?
Yeah, so basically she met the merman. She met the man and wanted to go onto the sea but needed legs. And then Ursula, the sea witch, because there has to be a sea witch, and she has to be a lady and she has to be massive. I don't know why. But Ursula, the sea witch, she said, I'll give you legs if you give me your voice.
Ah, right.
So
right.
she got the legs, went on, didn't have the voice, had to kiss him by midnight, but Ursula tried to make it because she couldn't kiss him by midnight.
Right.
Got the voice back. Dad gave her the legs, and now here we are.
Now they live happily ever after.
Yeah. There's a mermaid part two, did you know?
No.
Yeah, there's part two, going back to the sea where she's got a daughter who loves the water and doesn't know why.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Mermaid, Little Mermaid 2, Revenge of the Smoked Salmon. Just to bring it back to your unpopular
yes,
opinion.
Little Mermaid 4, salmon.
So we've got two unpopular opinions. You clearly like Little Mermaid.
Yes.
We've got some concerns about mermaid underwear. But I would say those are two things that I smoked salmon. I am a smoked salmon bagel with some cream cheese and some capers. I mean, that must to you be like a
yeah
for me.
And you added
good
capers and cream cheese and a bagel. I hate bread. I was gonna say bread, but I thought no. But I hate
too unpopular.
Yeah,
people coming for you.
Yeah.
I imagine if you don't like smoked salmon, you probably hate an oyster.
I'm yet to even try one because just the sight of it is making me. And I've put it close to my mouth, but I end up, you know, I end up in that space. So
yeah. It does kind of look like someone sneezed into a soap dish. That's how I.
You've not made it attractive, Tiff. You've not made me want to have it anymore.
Before we get on to what you've got coming up, we have time to deal with a quick listener problem. With Angry Aunt, people have sent some stuff in for us to tackle on the podcast. This one is from Tina Sesselman. She's sent in a problem before. This week she said, Dear Angry Aunt, the thermometer has just reached 25 and every bus or train is already smelling like the armpit from hell. Why?
Because we are moving into a nation of people who think they don't want to wear deodorant anymore and that natural stuff doesn't work. Guys, newsflash, doesn't work. We need to
Ooh.
Get deodorant.
Okay, so now get ready for the spicy take.
Ooh.
I've never worn deodorant. And so therefore, I've never needed it.
You're odorless.
I just didn't start using it as a teenager for some reason. Because I'll tell you why, for some reason. I never sweated. Like now I'm a bit older, I do
it's
a little
giving
bit.
Prince Andrew, but I'm gonna take it.
So when I would exercise when I was younger, my face would go really, 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 really red.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily get liquid coming out of my pores. Now I do. Like I was in the garden yesterday and it was very hot and I was like, oh, I'm sweating the back of my neck. As I've got older, I'm like, oh, your knuckles sweat. Do your knees sweat? I didn't know your knees
behind
or your elbow creases.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere.
All the sweat.
Right? And actually, it's quite healthy.
Yeah.
But I just never have worn a deodorant.
Yeah.
So I just like shower, you know, like yeah. everyone else does. And I've never worn it. And I've never, you know, unless people come on now and go, you fucking stink. But I've never had people come up to me and go, you smell.
No, I've never smelt you. You've always smelt nice, yeah. So I, when you say I've never worn it, It adds to my why I stopped taking my hay fever tablets, because I genuinely believe the stuff they make us buy keeps us in the space that we have to keep spending the money on the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So my first 2 years without having hay fever tablets was really hard. But now it's easier. Just easier.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Bit of Vaseline around the nostrils.
Yeah. I might have a little like sniffly nose every now and again, but my eyes have not been red anymore. I'm not rubbing continuously anymore. I'm not getting the headaches and all that stuff anymore. I genuinely think the stuff that we buy keeps us in the space that we're continuously having to buy.
Of course, yeah. Because how can they make money if you don't still have the problem?
There you go.
So that's, but I just never did. And I don't know what it was. It wasn't like it was enforced upon me from my mum or anyone else like that, like in my family. I just never, I remember there being those kind of impulse body sprays.
Yes.
And I had Dewberry from the body shop. I had like their little perfumes. Yeah. But I never had, I never went, oh, I'm going in and spraying under here and just...
Yeah.
Just didn't. And actually, I've got armpit hair at the moment. Sometimes I grow it out.
Yeah,
it's there and I'm still not, you know. So I wonder if my body naturally went, well, we learn how to deal with this. And then when you start using that, you're somehow interfering with that process. And then there are certain ingredients in there and stuff that, you know.
That are not good for the body. Also, when you sweat, I realise, when you sweat, it activates a smell. When you put the deodorant on top of it.
Right.
Your natural odor, which is probably fine, as you well know, is now going against what you've put on top
Whatever.
Of it.
Whatever, so you're getting
and
too...
And so that's where it's...
Yeah. Yeah, right. I remember there was this woman that I worked with years ago, and she used to get annoyed because there was another woman in the office who would just, like, throughout the day spray her deodorant. And she was like, she's putting spray upon stink up.
Yeah.
Were her exact words.
You smell worse when you do that. You have to wash before you spray. Otherwise, you're adding to the drama and it doesn't make any sense.
Yes, yeah. So you just... But it's also hard as well, because if you're like, oh, I'm getting hot throughout the day and I feel like I could smell myself, then the need to like kind of get some deodorant on or do something. But I just feel like it's, you know, in weather like this, sometimes I'm like, this is a 2-shower day.
Honestly...
And I've had one this morning, and then before I go out to do the show tonight, I'm going to have another one, because it feels like, it feels too
you
much.
You get clammy, but, didn't you? You don't want to go to work feeling like all day. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But I do. I have one in the morning always, and I have one before I go to bed always, because the idea sometimes, because we go into comedy clubs and sometimes we have to even get on the train and the tube, I've collected all of outside. And I'm in my mind, the way my mind works is I'm bringing that to my bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I do is when I get in, I've got a little space here. My shoes and stuff stay outside. And then 9 times out of 10, I will undress. And by the time I get to my shower, I'm naked and my clothes are in the dirty basket. And then that way I've minimized bringing in as much outside as possible.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's yeah. I know a lot of people who feel like that. They're like, I'm not bringing outside into my bed.
Yeah.
But I wear shoes from outside indoors. My sister's like, shoes off.
Yeah.
My sister's like, you come into my house, your shoes are
off. Shoes off.
And then I've got a friend who's like Filipino, and she's like, we all take our shoes off. What is this madness where you come in and you're bumping around in your shoes?
I feel like, because when you're outside, you've walked on untold amounts of things that you don't even realise. So why do you want that in your house, Tiff?
Yeah, so I think everything already smells because it's hot and people aren't, they're going from one place to the other. They haven't had a chance to get home and it's hard. Your own smell is one thing. Everyone else's smells is harder to take as well.
I only like your smell if I love you. You know, like
that.
Yeah. The moment you break up with a boyfriend, that smell now stinks. You don't want to smell that sweat ever again. But also I find that when I'm on the tube, if I do smell someone, sometimes it's diet. You know, like when they eat, they use a lot of oils and stuff and it seeps out of their skin. Sometimes it's diet.
Right.
Yeah.
Certain foods do show up in your, like if you have beetroot, you'll go to the toilet and think you're about to die. Because, and then remember you had beetroot because your pee is red.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or if you eat too much vitamin C, your pee goes green. Your poo goes green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Once, and I was just, oh, man. I could climb a tree and pick the juiciest oranges. And I spent all day just eating oranges. And then when I went to the toilet, I ran out the toilet. I was like, oh, my God, I want to die. And my dad then was like, he's just laughing. He's like, no, it's because you've been sitting in the orange tree all day in Nata. You've eaten nothing but oranges.
Just eating too much orange.
Yeah, it's too much vitamin C in your diet. And now your insides are green.
I'd like that to be a problem for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the good things about vitamin C is actually you can't overdo it because your body just ejects it.
Literally.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for tackling that listener problem. Tina, there's not much you can do about it. The other thing is I would take maybe a little bottle of some, what are those drops? Those like, you know, the little.
Like the oils, the essential oils.
Yeah, the essential oils. If you got something that you could just wave it under your nose and you can get a pleasant smell.
Yeah. You know, like those sticks, you know, when I've got one of those, you know, you put
roll-ons.
The oil in the bottom. Oh, yeah, roll-ons. But you know, you've got oil in the bottom of like a container and you've got the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you can carry one of those with you as well. Because that's
Carry those, just waft it under your nose and just.
Just do that. I used to be spray my impulse girl.
Right.
When I was on the train and someone smelled.
Right. Someone smelled, you just sprayed it.
On top of my head.
Yeah.
Or act like I'm spraying my clothes, but it just means that this scent is now around me and not your scent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that with, I got this, was it the Brazilian Bum Bum? Whoever does that, they've got these body sprays, which I've started obsessively using. They've got like a caramel and pecan.
Ooh.
The one I use is coconut and something else. And it's in a little spritzer, and occasionally I'll just spritz.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just spritz because I want the smell, but also.
Because we want the smell.
Because we want the smell to knock out all of the other smells. So it's quite a nice way to do it. So, don't take it personally, guys. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. Before we head off, is there anything you'd like to plug? What have you got coming up? Where can people see you?
Yeah, best thing to do is go to my website, www.tanyamore.co.uk. I am up to date with my dates and stuff. I've got my 1 hour, my new 1 hour coming. It's called August. It's a work in progress, hopefully to tour, if not late 24, early 25.
Amazing.
So we'll be doing that. We've already won an award at Bolt Festival, which is wonderful.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nominated at Leicester. So I'm really excited about it. It's a really nice show.
Go see Tanya because her stand-up's really, really brilliant.
Thank you. And follow me on TikTok because apparently all the other apps are dying.
Right. Go to TikTok.
Yes.
Hit some clips. There's some great clips up, actually. I've seen some clips of you at the Comedy Store emceeing and stuff.
Yes.
So there's some great fun crowd work ones and stuff like that.
Thank you.
So if you're looking for stuff, go find that. Follow on the social medias. Go to the work in progress. Are you taking it to Edinburgh, not to Edinburgh?
Not this year, no. I just want to tour
I'm doing
it.
A week. Well, that's my plug. I'm doing a week work in progress at the Fringe, but just 1 week.
Yay.
I don't know if I'll ever do a month again. So 1 week and then it will go out on the road and that's how we do now. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
You're ace. Loved having you. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.